Get the next show part of the show started. Welcome back. Thank you. All righty. Let's start some big fun here. We got a couple of very special guests. And I'm going to invite Joe Engel and Mike Collins to the stage. So I'll bring out Joe Engel first. Joe Henry, would you join me on the stage? Thank you, Joe.
Mike was talking.
So, a little bit about Joe that you might not know. Joe Henry Engel flew F-100s in the Air Force and then went to the test pilot school. And we'll learn a little bit more about that in a bit here when Mike comes out, because they got to fly together. But of course, Joe went on in 1965, flew the X-15. To an altitude of over 280,000 feet, and then three of his 16 flights went over 264,000 feet, hitting the 50-mile mark for qualifying as astronaut before he ever went to NASA. He was also one of 19 pilots selected for space missions, backup of Apollo 14 and Apollo 10, and we'll get to hear a lot more about that. And then he flew as the only guy to have flown manually all the way down from reentry in the space shuttle. So, Joe, thanks for being here with us
tonight.
Thank
you, Charlie. I want to see where he sits down. I'm not going anywhere. Yeah, I'm sitting on his left.
Okay, are you?
Yeah. Thank you.
Joe, go ahead and grab a seat there if you would.
Okay.
You'll be comfortable. And next, I'd like to invite Mike Collins to the stage.
Right over here, Mike. Oh, wait a minute.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Go.
Sit.
A man who needs little introduction,
now,
but
stay.
You know, there's a few things I'd like to say about Mike as we get started here. Mike, of course, joined the program and flew in the Gemini program on Gemini 10, a pilot of a three-day mission. Also did some of the very early rendezvous and docking missions that I'm sure we'll hear a little bit about. And he was the command pilot on Apollo 11 for the Columbia. And we're going to hear a lot about that, too. Mike went on to write a book, Carrying the Fire, and he also served as the director of the National Air and Space Museum after he left NASA. So, Mike, thank you for being here tonight. Well, tonight, you know, it's all about Apollo 11, of course, and just thank you both for being here to celebrate with the crowd. This is a special crowd. They're lovers of aviation. They have a passion for aviation like we do. And a lot of the astronauts have had an affinity for EAA, and both of you have. Can you talk a little bit about previous connections with Oshkosh and EAA? Joe, you've been here several times.
Well, Charlie, you bet. I'll be glad to. I first started really getting an interest in EAA because of what it said, experimental aircraft. And when I was first learning to fly, my instructor, who was a wonderful guy, Henry Dittmer, I was working summers down at Cessna Aircraft Company in Wichita in order to go back to school, to save money to go back to school. Really wanted to fly desperately. And Henry, he was a CFI, he was an instructor. Knew I wanted to learn to fly, knew I saw that I really did love airplanes. Offered to teach me to fly and got me my first job at a little grass strip, Rodden Airport, a little grass strip there right off the end of the Cessna runway, and for 8 hours of sweeping hangars and cleaning toilets and stuff that you do it to anything, you know, we'll fly for anything. For 8 hours of work, I would get 1 hour in the Cessna 120 that sat outside.
Nice.
And that's how I got started flying, and then Henry saw that I really was serious about it, so He said, okay, next summer when you come back between semester, between school years, we're going to build an airplane. So
wow.
He bought a Stitz Flutterbug. Anybody remember what a Stitz Flutterbug, the early ones, the single seat?
I hear a few applauses out there.
A few applause, but this was before most people were born, I think. It was a little ugly little airplane, probably the ugliest airplane I think I've ever seen. A lot more have seen the airplane, they know about the Stitz. It had a tricycle gear, which made it a modern airplane at that time. This was back in the early 50s. And I can remember going to buy parts for it. The wheels, the tricycle gear, all three wheels were wheelbarrow wheels.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, they were serious. And,
you're off to a good start there, Joe.
So we went to the hardware store. Well, it took off, I think, at 40 miles an hour, and it landed at 40 miles an hour, and top speed was about 43 miles an hour. So. But we went to the hardware store to get the wheels, and Henry would pick them up and slide them on this axle and spin them up to see if there was any how they balanced out. And so we pick out three good wheels. And the store owner came up and he said, what are you doing? And Henry said, we're just making sure that it doesn't shimmy and walk. He said, well, you're not going to, this is a wheelbarrow. You're not going to be hauling big loads that fast. And he said, well, we're not really going to put them on a wheelbarrow. And he said, what are you going to do? I think we'll put them on an airplane. And the guy looked at him with this, you got to be kidding me. But the fact that I
you're
was able to
you're one of the
to
original
help.
EAA guys, I think.
What's that?
You were one of the original EAA guys, I think, by the sounds of it.
Well, I don't know, but I was sure proud of flying an experimental airplane, I tell you.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Joe. Let's hear it for that. A home builder. And Mike, I was reading in your book, you had a little bit of an affinity too. You built a model of a BG, I guess, right? A GB? The GB model, the GB aircraft?
Who, me?
Mike did,
you
right?
You mean Mike. Did you build a GB?
Gigantic fuselage and tiny little wings.
Yeah.
It was not unlike the F-104, which is one of my... one of my favorite planes. So.
You know, we had the GB out here probably 10 years ago now, and it was flown right here at the show, so there's a connection there.
I bet it looked like it was falling out of the sky.
Pretty much.
It didn't look right, but it was, for a model maker, it was a dream.
So how did you get your start in flying then, Mike?
My dad took me up in an airplane. He was not a pilot, but he had access to a to one of the early Navy amphibians, and he took me up, and the pilot showed me everything I needed to know, which was how you keep that little thing on the horizon, and that was way beyond my capability. I mean, it just got worse and worse and worse as the lesson went by, and finally the poor pilot had to grab it away from me.
But then you guys got to fly together, right? Joe, didn't you fly with Mike when you went to Edwards?
We did. When I got selected for the test pilot school and finished the school, the dream of everybody that wants to be a test pilot is to go to fighter test operations at Edwards. And I remember I graduated and I got that assignment. I was thrilled to death and I went down and kind of checked in, and Mike was already there. He was an old guy. He was one of the old heads.
He was the old guy?
He was the old head, an experienced old head.
You're about to slap him, right?
I used to fly with him, but I didn't, in a dual control, I didn't particularly like it.
I knew there would be a discrepancy in this story.
Believe me, you can believe me.
Okay, you keep going
then. If you just laugh at Mike, he's happy.
I don't want to say he hogged the controls. That's unfair. But you could feel a delicate presence there that was not your own.
When I first got down to test
ops, we might never get to the part where you actually did something in this flight.
Yeah. I don't think we ever did anything, really. But we just flew. We had fun flying together. But my first flight at test ops was an area orientation, you know, where you take the new guy out And you say, okay, here's the end of our area. This is our restricted area. You got to stay inside here. If you carry an ordnance, you can't go here and there. That kind of thing. And here, these are the dry lake beds. And always remember which way it is back home. And Mike, I remember I was scheduled. Mike was going to give me my area orientation in an F-104D, the two-seater. And you stop shaking your head because you don't know what's coming up here. So
I was pretending I couldn't hear you.
And I didn't. I believe everything but the pretend on that one. And so I was really scared because I didn't know Mike then. And he was just as ferocious looking then as he is now. And so I wanted to be ready for this flight and make a good impression so that Mike would come back and tell all the big guys in flight test, Engel's okay, you can let him go fly. So, man, I studied up on the area. I didn't want to get lost or anything up there if I did get to touch the stick. And so we were ready to go out. I had maps made up, and I had a knee board that I had a special clip on it that I could go back and forth to get different areas on. I thought, I think I'm ready. So we walked out to the airplane, and I got in, and it took Mike no time at all. Of course, as soon as we got in, he was ready to crank, and I was still fumbling to try to figure out where the seat belt was.